The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
Market-moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber, at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Future is pretty solid here. S&P looks to reclaim 5K after yesterday's pop. Those CPI revisions, relatively painless. A two-year yield drops to 4.43. Russell futures up 1%. Our roadmap begins with a chips-fueled rally. The S&P is poised to open above 5K. NVIDIA, the biggest driver on the year. More gains expected at the open.
Plus, we're keeping an eye on corporate results, of course. Pepsi's revenue sliding for the first time in nearly 4 years. Expedia is blaming Boeing 737 groundings for headwinds. And boy, were there headwinds. Pinterest seeing pressures on ads. And, of course, it is Super Bowl weekend. Near record ad revenue is expected. And the game, of course, may also get a little boost from somebody named Taylor Swift.
Hackneyed stuff. You come in at first. 5:59. The people like tell me this from notes. You know, people came to the bar and told me that. That's information.
What?
The Taylor Swift thing. You got to have another angle.
That's the only time in the show when I actually read something that's there. Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to start early and needling you because you spend the whole show needling me. I figure I get the little needle at the beginning and then we're ready to roll.
All right, we are ready to roll.
Okay.
I'm ready to roll.
I bet you are.
Yeah.
Let's begin with the markets. Above 5K yesterday for a brief moment. We're going to try to do it again today, Jim. People were sort of worried about these CPI revisions.
Well, yeah, okay.
December actually trimmed down a tenth.
Right, but it's funny. I mean, I can't tell you how many people told me if we don't go over this and hold it, well, this could be back in the wilderness, you know, the 2021 wilderness. Now, David, this is just, I know this is not the Dow, so it's actually just more important than S&P.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, this is not, look, you could call, I don't know, Dave Tepper. And take it over 5,000, right? Hey, Tepper, take it over 5,000.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not something, Dave Tepper being a very big hedge fund manager who also owns the Carolina Panthers.
Yes.
But, I mean, you could take this up. So let's just not make it so it's make or break, okay?
Okay, that's fine with me. I'm in agreement.
Good, okay.
There you go.
And I have, tonight I have Cloudflare.
See it? Who do you have?
I have Cloudflare. So nice. Good night. Oh, I have to do a spin dash.
Jim, last night, Goldman puts up a chart looking at eras in which you had an S&P all-time high and the Russell in a bear market.
Right.
Happened in 95, and S&P continued to outperform a month, 3 months, 12 months out.
That was that strange period where interest rates go higher and the S&P still did well. And it was a very counterintuitive moment. I've always felt that it had much more to do with the X86 Wintel. Because it was really just kind of a cool moment. Now, look at this. This is so incredible. Now, if you look at a little quiz I'm going to give them.
Come on, give it to me.
What was one of the top five that moved the S&P from S&P 4,000 to 5,000? The outlier. Not tech, not pharma.
Not pharma.
Yep.
And not tech.
Yeah. Builders First Source.
Yes, that is the weird one in the top. Yeah.
Oh, I never would have gotten that one.
Floor and Decor and Builders First Source. I'm going to take you. Going to blow your mind.
Is that the decking? What do they got?
Yeah, well, they have everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're like mini Home Depot. Home Depot, by the way, we had Masco upgrades. We had tremendous numbers from ASIC, and we had terrific numbers from Trek. And yet people can't, they don't want to buy Home Depot. I think it's a big mistake. But this Builders Force, so David, this is an exciting place.
Wow. I didn't know.
Exciting.
See, we got some, even though Mohawk guided below, Jim, they do think the industry is at a low. We got a little M&A between Owens Corning and Masonite.
You know, Masonite was one of these very controversial companies where people did when it came public. It really popped. I remember the CEO is a terrific guy since changed. And this is a powerhouse, Owens Corning Masonite. It's a powerhouse.
And it's a good premium since
people
we've gotten
bills,
to it.
I
remember, Masonite was actually trying to buy PGT Innovations. And then that got away from them, and a company called MITRE bought them, but they were in a fight there. I don't believe that many had expected, perhaps, that Masonite would then immediately turn to put itself on the block. But frankly, I haven't covered it that closely. But to your point, $133 a share. And that is a 38% premium to right where the stock was yesterday.
So, see, now, this is the stuff that's
we're not
happening.
Talking about a large deal here, guys.
No,
a little over,
but it's
a little over
it's
three, almost $4 billion total.
It's the tenor of things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you come in and Masonite just, you owned Masonite yesterday and you're like, I got the stock. What do I do with it? And then, boom, you're slammed upside the head with a bid. This is our market.
Yeah, we haven't had that much. I mean, where are we? Early Feb? We haven't had that much M&A to speak of. We've had some. No, we saw Catalan as being one of the leaders,
yes.
Of course. That was a deal from earlier this week.
I just find
We've had some. We've had a pace of deal making, but not, frankly, far off from what we saw last year. And last year was not a good year when it comes to volume.
Well, last year we had an agency, a run-amok rogue agency that was blocking everything.
We'll see. I keep hearing everybody wants to talk the game about big stuff they're working on, and you know, maybe it'll get to the finish line.
Yes, I'm hearing similar.
A $50 billion one or this, but they seem to run into the same issues that would have plagued a deal in the past, which is not about regulatory as much as social issues and price, which are difficult things to negotiate. That said, regulatory, I don't want to that it's not still an issue, Jim. But, I mean, Akon is still on that job.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And we're going to hear, we're going to talk about, say, a Pinterest, we talk about a firm. And when you listen to these companies, they almost feel like that they should be merging, that the standalone is not powerful enough, they don't have the scale. And there, I think they would hit the radar screen of Lean Akon.
Right.
I mean, because Pinterest, look, I think Bill Reddy's really good. I don't think the quarter was nearly as bad as people thought. I think that they fled from the quarter because they feared it was going to be a snap. These guys have an Alphabet, Google deal. They've got an Amazon deal. They have a huge presence. 80% of their business is international, but only 20% of their clicks to buy are international. They can fix that. Bill Reddy can fix that. That interview was terrific last night.
Yeah, Q1 revenue guide does disappoint. There were some questions, Jim, about the Amazon partnership not yielding as many benefits as you might have thought at one point.
I felt that. And I think that when you do a deal with Amazon, remember, they do deals with a lot of people, and you tend not to win. Amazon tends to win on those deals. That's why I like the Shopify deals. I always feel Shopify are win-win, so to speak.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Meantime, you mentioned NVIDIA and what an engine it's been for the market overall.
Yes.
Some pieces today about how it's threatening to overtake Amazon as the number four largest market cap.
We talked about that a bit yesterday.
Well, but there's new news here. They're going to do customized chips.
The Reuters story that I think Carl was just about to get to.
Which could be bad. You know, Marvell is the one. Marvell Tech, which I like very much, is one that customizes it. And then my Chapel Trust owns Broadcom, and people may see that Broadcom is a loser in this customization. I caution people to sell those stocks because they're really good. Broadcom is better than Marvell because Marvell's got this optical thing and there could be lumpiness and they would tell you that. But I think that NVIDIA, once again,
well, what do you make of the Reuters?
When you listen to Sam Altman,
as well as you know this company, what do you make of this Reuters story that talks about how they're going to try and help some of these companies make, again, sort of these more exclusive chips? New business unit focused on designing bespoke chips for cloud computing firms and others.
You know, look, Jensen Huang wants to, he comes in peace to all potential customers. And I think that, remember, he has the best relationship with Taiwan Semi. They'll get that done. Jensen, you can't get in the way of Jensen right now. Let this thing go higher. Let it go higher. Because when you talk to, like, I'm on a conference call with the fellow who runs GE Healthcare. And what does he want to talk about? AI. And is there AI? Yes.
I mean, I think some would argue that the two most incredible charts of the week are TSM and ARM.
TSM broke out so big. ARM, I had a nice talk with Renee. I mean, I have to like Renee.
You seem to think it wasn't a short squeeze yesterday, but everybody else seems to think it was because the float is very
90%.
Small. As we pointed out, SoftBank controls most of the shares. They're not a seller at this point, as he clearly. I think the lockup
mid-March,
is soon.
Mid-March, March 13th.
Why would you think it was not in part a short squeeze? A 60% move. Come on.
Well, okay, so you clearly did not watch my show from last night.
I did not watch your show.
Where I talked about how you had to take some profits because when the lockup expires, the stock's going to go down because there clearly was not enough supply, and that's why the stock was driven higher.
Okay. Because yesterday you said it wasn't a short squeeze.
Well, I didn't know.
So you revised your opinion.
I didn't think that, unlike Disney, it would stay. I mean, Disney just kept going higher. I thought ARM would stop, and ARM did not stop. But there is apparently no indication yet that there might be a sweetheart lockup ending. And I also want to know, remember, there's these anchor tenants that they brought in
that's a lot
of hedge funds were phony.
That's right.
And instead have made a lot of money. You know, Intel was an anchor tenant.
They were. I'm glad, I'd forgotten about that. But yes,
that's
very
remember, they're
talking about a company that went public at 51 not that long ago, right. Of course, one of the bigger IPOs of last year. And is now more than doubled.
Yeah. But your point about breakouts, I mean, we can talk about chips all day long, but Disney arguably won, Jim. Hershey this week, kind of breaking out of a pretty ugly trend.
Yep. Look, I go over Disney pretty closely. There are some real wins. There are some real wins in the Disney company. What? That I...
I don't even need to say anything. He can just feel my piercing gaze as I look
like
at
Kylo Ren
at the side of his head.
I did not want to get in the crosshairs of you immediately. I think that there's some positives in Disney. I'm not going to overlook that. And I would start, by the way, just so we know, that there is this Netflix comparison may not be as maybe a little more fatuous.
The what comparison?
The Netflix.
You mean in terms of the Netflix?
Yeah. 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 The margins, they have a 10-year head start on Disney.
Yes, they do.
It's not they have a 4-year head start.
And a technology head start is certainly what you'll hear
well,
often. Yes.
So, I mean, I think we have to drop that analogy. A lot of people use that constantly away from that. And I understand why Bob Iger would sound frustrated about that, because it is, first of all, comparisons are odious, as our mothers told us. But it's just like, whenever you mention Netflix, it's kind of like, okay, so Disney missed out. All right, yeah, enough.
But is there any reason to think that password share revenue gains would be any different at Disney than they were at Netflix?
You do have younger... The younger cohort tends not to have their own houses and...
You mean
and,
kids? Little
yeah, kids.
Kids.
I mean, we have a lot of younger cohort stuff. Remember Snap. When you look at Snap, they could have like 2 billion people who are 12, and they don't have 10 cents to buy any of them. Oh, 10 cent. Forgot that. We haven't mentioned Temu, Tencent, or Shein, so we obviously don't know what we're doing.
That may be true.
I got some more stuff from Shein yesterday.
You got more actual what clothing?
For my wife that I bought like about a month ago. Just be careful. I'm telling you, it's not... You wore Ralph Lauren yesterday. I don't want you to confuse Ralph Lauren with up $25.
You don't
with
have to Shein. Worry. I don't buy anything.
Who buys your stuff?
I don't know.
Who bought that TJX shirt?
This was, you know, came to the house. I don't know. It wasn't bought by me.
It came in the mail from the clothes fairy.
It's not even signature.
X, really?
It's not even signature. The Kirkland signature look? you have it coming. I mean, look at that thing.
You like this shirt?
No.
It's nice.
It's pretty
easy.
My
Friday,
yeah,
you know,
colorless.
Come on, colorless. I got to have a little color.
You know, someone just said in my year Ross Stores, and I'm coloring with Burlington. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in Burlington. I had like a fist fight with Burlington.
I've
the
never
guy.
Been there.
We were fighting over a
there.
T-shirt that said was like, you know, like, I'm Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
When we come back, a lot of earnings movers to get to. We'll get to Pinterest, Expedia, Take-Two, Affirm, Pepsi, of course, upgrade of United Airlines today, and of course, we'll talk the Super Bowl after a break.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Welcome back to Squawk on the Street. This weekend's Super Bowl is not only the biggest day for football, also the biggest for the ad industry. New data out of B of A today shows the jump in figures surrounding the game. A 30-second ad back at Super Bowl I cost about $37,000. This weekend, $7 million. That's 185 times the amount it was in 1967. Jim, at that rate, gasoline, they say, would be $61 a gallon, and the S&P would be at 16K.
What we know from the CPI, what really keeps showing up, is this entertainment, that everything, no one has rebelled against the price of entertainment. And it's probably unfortunate because that does price out people. I'm hoping that I know that the Vision Pro costs so much money, but it's a great way to watch a concert. So I think that we'll be okay there. Now, when I look, PepsiCo not doing the sponsorship, it's Apple. PepsiCo will have a number of ads, but the winner already, I know, it's the Elf Beauty ad with Judge Judy.
Really? I thought you were going to say maybe Uber. Or...
Nope. It's the Elf ad with Judge Judy, and David's going to come in here. Can I do a spoiler alert? Are you allowed to do that?
Sure.
It ends with, you're a putz.
Really?
Yes.
So you've seen the ad?
No, I have no knowledge whatsoever. I'm like the guy from Davidson who said there was no tech innovation, and then he saw the Vision Pro and said there is tech innovation.
Judge Judy is a powerhouse. Most likely been the highest paid person on television, people don't realize, for, I don't even know how many years.
So she's
years.
A Joe Rogan or two?
And huge deal with Amazon
right.
for her new shows, and then syndicating them back. Tribunal Justice, by the way, as
I'm
well,
doing,
with
I'm doing,
Judy. Fall 2026 syndication launch.
Did you see the ad?
Justice clears 95%.
Tarangaman, by the way.
Do not mess with Judge Judy.
No. Tarangaman from Elf. I mean, you have to look at that stock. It's one of the greatest performers of our time. And their ads are always very piercing, and people look at them. And I think their ad, we're all going to come in here and say, I cannot believe it, that Elf Beauty had the best ad. It's funny.
Meanwhile, Jim, a lot of focus on the cost of food, drinks, party favors, for example. We're expected to spend $17 billion. Wings are actually down year on year.
I know.
But a basket of items like chips and salsa is up about the same amount.
I went and got a loan from J.P. Morgan because I'm using a Whole Foods basket for Super Bowl.
Okay. Oh, that's expensive. Yeah. I get it.
He wrecked my whole timing. I had everything. You're supposed to go like ba-dum-bum or something, you know?
I'm sorry. I was looking up something. I was trying to stay on top of some
actual news.
You know,
the railroad guys like
today?
Your shirt. He's got a good
There's
railroad
a lot,
guy, but like in his shirt.
There are a lot of people who like
a railroad CEO commented
dress,
possibly on your
my
shirt.
My dress today, and they think that you were just being mean.
Well, I tell you, what you really want is that railroad cohort to just come right down and say, he's the best-looking guy on TV.
You got a mad dash you want to start thinking about? Why don't you do that, okay?
I will.
Okay, good.
I will.
Okay.
We'll get Kramer's mad dash. We'll also get your updated pick for this weekend because the line's pretty tight.
Yes, it is. That's why you don't even want to take the points.
Futures hanging in there.
I forgot, one of the best performers in for the last 5 years, Marathon Pete. And you wonder why. Versatility.
We're back in a moment.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, package-less and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
We got about 7 minutes before we get to an opening bell. Let's talk for the Mad Dash Expedia.
Yeah.
But we get to it. We may come back to it because the stock is not looking good.
Right. Now, first of all, I will tell you that one of the better CEOs that people are unsung is a guy named Peter Kern. And I've loved him. He's doing Expedia. He did when I did the Space Needle in Seattle. He's best been fat. Well, he's retiring.
Yeah,
and that
leaving.
Was very unexpected.
Yes, it was.
Very. Now, David,
we should point out, Ariane Gorin will be the new CEO effective May 13th
right.
of this year.
So we didn't know that.
No.
And a lot of us who have gotten used to talking to Peter and just hearing about the engine, there's Expedia and Vrbo's doing really well. But it turns out you're reading in like the fifth paragraph and he goes, in the fourth quarter, we saw strong revenue and EBITDA performance. Right. So far, so good. But we did see some softness in gross bookings driven primarily by air, which in turn was largely driven by a reduction in average ticket prices. Well, David, stop trading.
Yeah.
And then, Jim,
all I needed to look at was the first box at the bottom. Free cash flow, negative $415 million.
Not what I wanted. So
they had negative free cash flow.
No, there's a lot. And they also had a conversion, a new system. I don't want to dump on these guys too much because they have done a great job, okay? But I think that the guy I would have said was, don't worry about it, Kern will figure it out. But no, Kern's not going to figure it out. No more than Jerome Kern is going to figure it out.
Although he would have come up with a very nice way to write a release.
Yeah. And I just, I read it, and there's a lot of great things. Before we dump on this guy, if you read his conference call, he does talk about all the things that they've done, and it is remarkable. So I'm like a little waxing sentimental that this was part of what, this guy took over, COVID. How do you, have a travel agency during COVID? The answer is you hire Peter Kern and he brings you out of it. So I am not letting Peter Kern go on a bad note, okay?
Okay. All right, but the market may be. We'll keep an eye on shares of Expedia, a number of other earnings to get to as well. Opening bell just a few minutes away. And, of course, you can always catch us anytime and anywhere by listening to and following the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast.
Let's get to Pepsi, topping earnings estimates, but revenue sliding for the first time in nearly 4 years, Jim, exactly like McDonald's the other day.
Well, I think that Ramon LaGuardia, who's the excellent CEO, give you, by the way, a very nice dividend boost, did talk to me about the idea that maybe there are some people switching from work from home who are going to the office. They tend to buy a smaller bag, David, at the office than they do buy the big chip bag. Here I'm speaking, of course, of Frito-Lay. Quaker did have a one-time recall that I think also hurt them. They did take share. And if you look at their snacks versus, say, Hershey, okay, or Campbell's, they're doing much better. And I did the head-to-head on that. So I know I'm being very forgiving, but I don't think that Pepsi is the end of the road. And GOP does run nothing.
Well, we had an opportunity yesterday to ask both the CEOs of Kellanova and Hershey's about their response to GLP-1s. And, they're saying they're monitoring it.
Right.
They're modeling for it. But they're not really worried about it.
But Raymond's not even worried about it in the intermediate term. So, Carl, I know this is a great, great company, great stock. I know that it's going to be down. I'm not denying that. But inflation's coming down for them. Wages, okay. Transport coming down. Raw materials, there's still some ag, oats, wheat, corn. But this is a good company. Supply chain will be better. We're back in 2019. In every single way, but this work from home has been a boon for them, and that is
nice. Let's get the opening bell here in the CNBC Real Time Exchange. With the big board, it's Mexico discount retailer Tiendas 3B celebrating an IPO at the Nasdaq. Metagenomi, a genetics medicine company, also celebrating an IPO.
Oh my God! Well, Illumina reported. Of course, we know that Illumina is. When you think about that, that's Scott Gottlieb. Illumina does. They buy a lot of equipment. As soon as you have a biotech that comes public, they write a check. And Illumina did not disappoint horribly this time. I'm used to them disappointing horribly. But the way to play all of these is to buy Danaher or buy Thermo, TMO. Both of them, just you write a check to them as soon as you get the money in.
There's S&P 5K once again, Jim.
Oh, there you go.
A lot of discussion about what it's going to take the next couple weeks to maintain it. CPI Tuesday.
Right.
And then NVIDIA earnings the week after.
NVIDIA earnings, I urge people to recognize, when NVIDIA reports, you have to look at where NVIDIA's multiple was. You look back, you see that, oh my God, NVIDIA was really selling at 16 times earnings. The fantastic, wonderful Colette Kress, the CFO, does a remarkable job on the call. Certain times you have CFOs who are so strong.
Mm.
David, you, Johnson, handled the expense side of the Disney call. I thought he did a good job.
Well, I think they're quite happy with having have Mr. Johnson in that role. Somebody who's, well-respected on Wall Street.
But we don't talk enough about dynamite CFOs who really do the narrative, and I should do something on that.
because there's just people who can tell a story so clear. And that Ashkenazi at Lilly, I mean, unbelievable. No hype, really understands the numbers. Eli Lilly is going to get this Alzheimer's drug. It's going to be approved this first quarter. In order to get it, you're going to have to use a GE Healthcare to get insurance. I believe you have to get a GE Healthcare contrast to see how your brain, how much plaque your brain has. You're actually not just going to get it.
CFOs are a big part of the United Airlines upgrade today over at Evercore. They say he comes from a equity background, might understand the correlation between returns and valuation, and they say we're starting to hear that.
Well, I've got, it's about time. I mean, actually, the airlines, I want the one I want is like American, which, oh my God, it's all these have not done well, even though we sit here and talk about travel and leisure until Expedia dropped the bomb, that it's been just a boon. You know, travel, leisure, and expensive dinners, and Taylor Swift. Now, Taylor Swift, David, as between, say, the state of California's GDP and Taylor Swift, where are we here?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift?
Yeah, yeah.
I think so. Now, I mean, so a guy, a driver, stops me and he goes, hey, look, are they going to get married? And I'm like, think it was like some royal couple. Are they going to get married? I mean, this is the way our country is a strange country.
It is a strange country. Roger Goodell actually talked about the effect that Taylor Swift is expected to have on the game Sunday. I think we have that sound. Take a listen.
Having the Taylor Swift effect is also a positive. Listen, they're both Travis and Taylor are wonderful young people. They seem very happy. She knows great entertainment. And I think that's why she loves NFL football. But I think it's great to have her a part of it. Obviously, it creates a buzz. It creates another group of young fans, particularly young women, that are interested in seeing why is she going to this game? Why is she interested in this game? Besides Travis, she is a football fan. And I think that's great for us.
I've been recommending heavily DraftKings, heavily. Because I think you have a whole new group of people. And if you ever, you got to go to, I'm not, I don't want to encourage gambling because there's people who spend too much money.
Yes.
But if you go to the site, Jason Ramos has a lot of the CEO. They do a lot of kind of really fun things to open the account about what, who's first to do this or first to that. And I urge people, I don't want to say, hey, listen, go gamble. But it's fun. We gamble. My daughters and I gamble. And it's like, it's always like just a hoot. We do daily fantasy.
Well, too. There will be an enormous amount of money. Bet on this on the outcome of this game more than anything else, I would assume, and setting records. To your point, because a new cohort may also be entering, in terms of young women who are perhaps for the first time sort of more focused on the game than they have been in the past.
And will they be advertising? You talked about backs. Will they have a lot of cop show and NSCI hospital dramas that they'll advertise? Because that's what's called is linear TV.
CBS will definitely be advertising the schedule for sure. I am going to be speaking to Bob Backus, the CEO of Paramount, in the next hour of Squawk on the Street.
Can you ask him if he feels left out by the now still sketchy bundle that we keep talking about?
Well, it's not sketchy, and of course that's
that
is a key question in terms of the fact that CBS Sports, and also we should point out NBC Sports, were not a part of it.
No.
My understanding in part about that bundle you're discussing, which we of course told people about later on Tuesday, is that the price would have just been even beyond most people's ability if you included everybody in that bundle, Jim. You would be paying as much as you pay for YouTube TV.
That's just great. And then what happens when NBA contract is up and Andy Jassy decides that he wants to own the NBA? And Jassy
well,
be the CEO
it's my understanding, and again, I haven't run this down completely, that Apple may have made an offer along those lines.
You do not have that nailed down.
You don't think Eddie Q said, I want to own the All-NBA, and they said no?
He owns MLS.
Because if you're the NBA, you don't want to be owned. You don't want to be distributed by one provider. That is not the way to reach the broadest audience.
Do you really have that?
I tend to think it may very well be true, but
I tried to nail it.
But I wouldn't, it's not, I'm not going to put it under the banner of a Faber report.
Oh, okay. Then no, that's just like.
Would that be bigger than MLS, in your view?
You know what? That would
enormous.
Verify that MLS is great, but I think that the Vision Pro, if you could be a courtside, say in David Zaslav's seats from Warner Bros. Discovery, if you could be in courtside,
then everybody who's watching this show should just go this weekend and get fitted. Because I can't believe it. I was dodging soccer balls. Messi shooting soccer balls at me. I was dodging them left and right in the Vision Pro.
Listen, Apple is getting more aggressive to a certain extent. Obviously, MLS being a perfect example of that. They do like to own the entire thing globally. They want to own it all oftentimes. So I don't dismiss it as a possibility. But, of course, what it really does make is the bigger point which you were making, which is the competition from Amazon and Apple and even potentially Netflix. I mean, if you want to call the WWE sports instead of entertainment, is going to be significant. And so 8 years from now, when CBS's deal comes up for the NFL, I mean, are they, you know, who's going to be in a position to compete with these guys then?
Oh, no.
It's certainly a question, but that's so far from now, Jim. I mean,
I know, but you have to be thinking about it. And by the way, Tim Cook, when I asked him directly, would he ever do one of these advertising tiers where if you pay, you don't have to watch the ads? He didn't dismiss that at all. So that does cut in favor of your exclusive about
my exclusive that I, you know, listen, again, that's not going to happen. So it's not really.
But David, I think that
the NBA renewal is important, and it will be a key question as to whether our parent company, NBC, steps up in a way, or, you know, does everybody sort of come back in some way across the board, Amazon, NBC, Warner Brothers, Discovery, ESPN, but get less for paying the same price.
All right, so David, you have the bundle. You have the Comcast bundle, but you really only want the sports. Can you, like, cancel your Comcast bundle and just get the sports package?
Well, no, you'd cancel your video. You cancel your video, and you would use Comcast broadband
okay,
to deliver the sports package yet to be named and any of your already, what I would assume are your streaming services that you're already paying for.
Well, does Comcast stock act as if it's two tin cans connected by a string?
It does. We pointed it out. I can't listen. We had an analyst on yesterday said maybe it is because of that sports bundle. I don't buy
makes
that.
Makes no sense at all.
I don't buy that.
Not at all.
It was a continued reaction, Comcast's stock price fall over the recent sessions, to the Charter numbers, which were not good, to the idea that ARPU is going to have a hard time going up overall because of competition from 5G, from fixed wireless, and the impact of this ACP program, remember?
Government subsidization
of broadband that is going to expire I think it's like a month or so from now. So I think those combined pressures have contributed. You see a bit of a bounce today in both Charter and Comcast to the downdraft there.
But this,
not the impact. I don't agree with that analyst who was on with us yesterday.
I agree, but in our business news category, this has been the most talked about thing since the rise of Tesla. For my people who are asking about stocks, they really want to know the impact stocks, impact Paramount, which is why I'm glad he has Bob Bakish.
Sure.
Because people just feel like this is indeed existential for Disney, because we don't know what the package is going to look like. Now, I will say that Disney brought it up, and they obviously have something that can be justified, but I just want to know about Warner Brothers Discovery. Is that people want to buy a $10 stock? Is that the winner? And David, there's still balance sheet issues.
Well, they generate a lot of free cash flow.
Right, but I'm saying that's an issue. Can you get to John Malone?
They have a lot of debt. Yeah, I can.
Would you give him a jingle during the?
Sure, I'll be happy to jingle him.
Well, but this is a very important story. There's a lot of people who feel like this is the coiled spring if things go right.
Linear cable networks is an issue, and even in the Disney quarter, linear cable networks were declining at a rate that is pretty scary, and by the way, is only going to be exacerbated by the presence of this sports bundle if and when come the fall it's available.
Well, wait till you see Firefighter NCI, and you're going to know what people are watching.
How about we get to some more earnings? Affirm, you guys, any thoughts on Affirm?
So Max Levchin, whom I just love because he is so in your face with his curt answers if you ask stupid questions on his conference call, he delivered a good quarter. And the number of bad loans is so low. And this stock was hit by shorts instantly, like heat-seeking missiles when it reported. They knocked it down 8. If they had listened, they would have realized that Max delivered a great quarter. And he's not defensive at all. He had really good numbers. This is a product that people really like and a CEO that has a lot of gravitas. And people should just recognize that, what are you doing betting against this guy? I know it's up when you can say there's a big squeeze, but Levchin he's sui generis. There's not a lot of CEOs like him. and I enjoy his style. He's kind of Musk-like in terms of basically challenging about whether you really understand the company. But I do, and I like what I heard.
They do boost the full-year guide on GMV and operating margin. The fiscal third quarter is roughly in line, Jim. Actually, the list of companies that did guide below includes Pins, Expedia, Newell, and Take-Two as well. We're going to talk to Strauss this morning.
Take-Two is a timing issue, and I think people recognize that might be an opportunity. And I would go back and say, you know, you want something that didn't. Look at Cloudflare, SymbolNet, with Matthew Prince, who has really turned that company into a cybersecurity giant. NET, and I've got him tonight, and when the stock was at 50, he came on, he said, look, people are misunderstanding the kind of thing that I'm working on, and he was right, and this is another one of those companies in the cyberspace that is just flying, and Matthew is the real deal, and he has some very big contracts. Commerce Department gave him a big contract. You know, that's Gina Raimondo. She knows probably the most of, I think, about business in that whole administration.
Yes, and is very involved, of course, in the CHIPS Act.
Yes.
We talked briefly about Sam Altman's ambitions to raise, what was the number in the journal? $7 trillion?
He likes big numbers.
Because we're not going to have enough chips or enough electricity to power the chips we need to get to overall artificial general intelligence.
And you know,
he seems so hell-bent on making sure the machines become smarter than us as soon as possible.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I went to hear him talk.
Slow down, man.
And that was all he was about. And I said, I turned to my wife, I said, if David Faber were here, we would all just say, pass the hemlock. It was really an extraordinary moment where he basically just said, he didn't mention you specifically, that we're just atavistic. We're like, you know what? We're useless eaters.
I haven't had an opportunity to spend time with Mr. Altman, but I feel like he warns on one side.
Right.
And then on the other, he's like, full speed ahead as fast as we can to get to that world that I keep warning about, or at least have certain concerns about.
No, he was the closest I've heard yet to saying that you're basically Soylent Green. Can you do it?
Edward G.
Do it, come on.
Which one do you want? Want Charlton Heston?
No, I want
saying, it's people.
You got to commit on that one.
I can't commit. I got to hear Heston first before I can
David,
really recreate.
David, by the way, what was To Serve Man?
Yes, it was.
What was To Serve Man?
It's a cookbook.
Ah, so good. Rod Serling, how brilliant.
One of the best.
How brilliant.
Jim, Bitcoin's getting some attention. Just a couple grand from the January highs.
You know, I had a good call that went down, and I said, listen, 40, maybe a buy, but this thing is on fire. Tesla and Bitcoin trade together. There's a lot of hope there.
Tesla or Bitcoin?
I think Tesla, too. I think Tesla's trying to make a quiet comeback. And I wouldn't put it past Musk to have something cooking. I'm waiting for the Texas move, David. That's going to happen.
It's funny. I should have read it immediately and didn't read Chancellor McCormick's decision until the last few days.
You've got to read it because it is a hoot.
And she writes really well.
Yeah, she did a lot of analogies. She really
and
is a very,
there were
very
some
good writer.
Interesting references to this process was on self-driving mode.
Yes.
Yeah, we would have had it earlier had it not been for the back surgery. That's why it took so long.
Well, it's a wonderful opinion over and over again. It talks about how doesn't matter how much money he made for people. What matters is process.
Thank you, Jim. That's exactly. Her issue was with the process and with what she felt like was a fully conflicted board in so many ways and not necessarily with the end result, which, of course, we've sat here and said, what was the issue? Why, in fact, would there be an issue with if you take a company from a $60 billion market cap to $650 billion, you should be significantly rewarded.
Well, how about the
her issue from the Delaware court was process, but of course Musk is like, I'm out of here, but we've yet to hear the follow up.
There's another aspect
reincorporating
that
Texas.
I hated of her ruling, which was that he created targets if he would get stock. And if the stock did certain things, and if the numbers are certain things, and apparently had the first two targets in the bag, will you give me a break? I mean, this was a gutsy thing to predict that your stock is going to go up this much. In hindsight, it looks like he had the whole thing in the bag.
That's ridiculous.
We saw a rally that was unprecedented. but I thought that was very bad.
She also says at the time he owned 21.9%. Of course he was incented regardless to get the stock price up because he was benefiting to the tune of over, you know, a 22% ownership already. So why?
But she has this comment about, well, why did he need to make more money? He made so much money. And that's not the way you look at things.
No.
You know, Jonas had a good note the other day. Can EV sentiment bottom in 24 because suppliers are cutting backlogs? Hertz is cutting fleets. We've seen adoption curves move down. Do you think that happens?
I think that when Toyota's cutting back, when Ford is cutting back in the next iteration, my tell is that I understand that the Hertz Teslas are selling very well. And that's what I'm betting.
Because the downgrade of Hertz earlier this week was about them not committing enough to the fleet sales. I think it was Morgan Stanley believes that they need to do more.
Well, I just think that enough with the dumping on Steve. So sure, I mean, he's got this thing under control, and I think people are like saying, you know what, he doesn't, and I think that's a mistake. I think that I'm not saying buy it. I am saying that I understand the Teslas are selling well, and that matters tremendously. It's not a dumping off of Teslas. I just don't want to count Musk out. Every time you count Musk out, you look like a fool.
Every time.
Every time.
Yep. He always manages.
Yeah, so like, you know, this is not when I don't think you throw, you know, you don't throw him under the bus right now because he is a fearsome character and he will come back with something that we had not thought of.
He is a fierce competitor in every way, including, taking on all his perceived enemies.
Right. I mean, he could easily come out and say, Jim Farley, what do you have? You have F-150 Lightnings and they're not selling. I have Cybertrucks.
What did Putin say about him? He was unstoppable, smart and unstoppable.
Somebody
said his interview with Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, I didn't watch. Did he really say that?
Yeah, I believe he did. I think he went after the hour and a half on Russian history.
Yes,
which, by the way, you're a big fan of.
The 30-minute answers.
I General I.D. Chernyakovsky was going to be a book that I'd written.
Yeah.
Youngest major general, 34.
So you and Putin would have a lot to discuss, potentially.
The Great Patriotic War. They won the war. I'm sorry, they won the war. And not just Stalingrad, it was the taking of Berlin, but it was also the Citadel battle. There were many things. And by the way, the German generals, almost every single one of their monographs was a lie. Almost everyone, and Telford Taylor, if he'd been allowed to win at the Nuremberg, we would find that all those generals lied, but we switched and hated the communists so much that we allowed those generals to tell falsehoods about what they really did to the Jews and what they really did to the enemy. And it's just an abomination. Sorry, I had to go off.
Yeah, no, we haven't had a lot of chance to discuss geopolitics. Oil, by the way, back to 77. Gasoline futures at a four-month high. Although, nat gas, 180,
oh
180
God.
Something
wow.
today.
That's... we got to pause the LNG because we could feed the world LNG. Yeah. I don't want to get too political, David.
Oh,
but you know where LNG goes.
I do.
It goes to Mexico. And Egypt doesn't play a big role in LNG.
Oh, Jim, you really had to do that.
Well, he's got me in an administration that I'm not going to be. But
yes.
I just think he's cranky because he's got a birthday coming up.
In 24 hours, I believe.
I just think, you know, you get to a certain age and you get a little cranky. Maybe it's nap time.
Time for your meds, Mr. Kramer. check bonds today. We're going to get CPI on Tuesday. Not pretty light day today. We'll go over the calendar for the coming week when we come back. Watch Pinterest today, down about 11%. That's going to take you back almost to the lows of the year, the first week of January. That revenue miss and the guidance haunting the stock, although EBITDA was a beat, as was MAU, best user growth ever, as Bill Reddy said. Dow down about 80, but we're holding 5K. Back in a moment. Jim, what do you got tonight?
Okay. I do have Matthew Prince, and I think the people have to understand I'm doing some work on what are the great stocks, the next blue chips, and Cloudflare has done incredible things. And they do a lot of, you know, their content, they handle your content and load. But the main thing is that they have cybersecurity, and people really trust them, and he's a very smart guy. Really like him very much. Very well-spoken.
And you're sticking with the Niners.
Yeah. Now, the two things that people...
No, wait. The Chiefs.
The Chiefs. Now, people have to know two things. They have to know... you might want to write these names down. You need to know Chris Jones, but the guy you really need to go is Willie Gay. I think Willie Gay reminds me of LT. And Brock Purdy is finally going to get... He's going to feel the wrath. I think Kittle will have a big game if you want to lose for them. But I think Willie Gay told us, a friend of mine, he's never felt better. He missed the AFC Championship. Watch him. Andy Reid, favorite. Coach Reid loves him.
All right, so you're just going with Casey's D. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, because Casey's D is much better than O used to be. I mean, O was better before. I just think that this D is just fearsome. Yeah. People don't understand it. They can stop the run, too.
Jim, enjoy the game and have a great birthday.
Yeah, you guys too. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. My wife has not told me yet what we're doing, so who knows? It might be Builder's First Source.
Exactly.
It's a great birthday.
Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. When we come back, Bob Backus from Paramount ahead of the big game. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation.
Cannonball!
Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.